Hello, and welcome to Broadcast Bullies Podcast. This episode, we discuss goaltending and the injury bug. Flyers go 3 straight without being shorthanded, and 9 straight with a point. All that and more, this is episode 107. And now for your host,
Mysterious Brian.
And me, Tyler Mizutovich.
Right, back from Vegas. Woo!
All right.
I'm pumped. You're not pumped.
I'm not pumped.
Mark's still hungover, apparently. He couldn't make it to the show today.
I had a little longer to recover.
A little bit longer. Brian got out of there a little earlier than us. We wanted to do a podcast of some sort while we were out there, and that didn't happen.
We were having too much fun.
We're having a lot of fun. With a lot of Flyers fans. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty, really exciting. I want to say there was, I'm not a statistician, 3,000 Flyers fans.
Yeah, that's a good call.
It wasn't a half, obviously. I mean, there was a lot of Knights fans there.
And yeah, and the Knights fans were very gracious for the Flyers fans.
They were pretty good. Everyone was like happy, except one guy. There was one guy kept on screaming, "We hate Philadelphia."
Yeah.
And then Costa's like, one guy hates Philadelphia. We get it.
I don't even think he was a Knights fan.
No, he just was a not Philadelphia fan, that's all. But it was pretty cool. The stadium was loud. I mean, the Knights, go Knights, go chants were loud.
Yes.
But then the Flyers fans would get amped up when they heard go Knights, go and start chanting, let's go Flyers, and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be back and forth there. But I was pretty impressed that only, I don't want to say a small number of fans, because there was a ton of Flyers fans there, like a ridiculous amount. But in comparison to the full capacity of the stadium, it was a smaller amount, obviously. And they were we were out shouting the Knights fans.
Wow. Not Philadelphia.
So it was pretty cool. The only thing, and they do like a whole show before. I mean, I don't know if anybody's really that listens to our show has seen the, you know, some of us hopefully have been there or have seen clips of what the kind of like shows they do in the beginning. They do a little like King Arthur type setup. The one thing that bothered me about the stadium, about the team, I guess, what their antics were, is they have at the end of the stadium a castle, which is kind of cool. And then they have like drummers standing outside the castle, and it seemed like when the Flyers would start to get a rush in the offensive zone, suddenly they're playing the drums very loud, and then a go Knights go chant starts while the game is going on, not in between, not the whistle just started, not nothing. It was just the whole time.
It's kind of more like a basketball game.
Yeah, stuff like I didn't like that. That's not hockey. You can't be banging drums during the game.
Yeah,
I was a little upset with that.
I didn't even notice.
Well, I was upset. I yelled at them. I said, "No, you can't do that. Come on. That's not cool." But other than that, it was a good time. It was a really good, excellent time. Great fans. Great, you know. They
really
know,
embraced hockey out there.
They did, yeah.
And some people think it's more like a gimmick, but no, they really embraced
the whole hockey. City is excited. Yes. You see Knight stuff everywhere. Like, post it in bars, and like they're excited. It's not just there to sell merchandise. Like, everyone is excited for it. It's pretty
and
neat.
And, of course, having a pretty good team.
Oh, yeah.
Have a great
one
year.
One of the best, obviously, which we'll get into standings a little bit.
That's a quick way to gain a fan base.
Which, I mean, hey, I don't think anyone expected them to be this good. I think it's safe to assume that. But, yeah, I mean, you know what? There were some complaints that the team is too good, that the Knights had a too good shake to start off compared to other expansion teams. But I mean, they didn't get any. There's no star players. They're just playing very well together. That's all.
Yeah, they obviously did their homework and got the players that they wanted.
That
meshed well, and I'm sure some of the analytics have gone into some of their choices that, you know, players would complement each other and stuff like that.
Yeah, they weren't closing their eyes and picking out of a bag.
No,
you know, so they did some work there, and it's paying off for them. And you know what? Kudos to how it's set up, because that's just driving the game there even more, and it's making more hockey fans. So we should all be excited for this.
And they play a very up-tempo style. We saw
fun
up close. Yeah.
They're in your face.
They're in your face constantly. The Flyers actually had their hands full the whole game.
Yeah, that's pretty neat to see. So I don't spend too much time on them. Obviously, they're playing great. I just, show back from that game, and it just was exciting to see. I haven't been to a ton of different stadiums other than the Flyers, and getting out there for that one made me want to go to more, keep comparing. It also made me a little sad at how the Flyers' presentation is for the game. It's better in the last couple seasons, but they really put on a pretty good show there. I mean, I know it's Vegas, but...
Yeah, Vegas, and I think, you know, they know that a lot of the opposing teams are going to have a lot of fans there.
Yeah, yeah, so they're going a little overboard. But yeah. They, like, tailored the insults on the board, not like, let's beat them, guys! No, it was making fun of the Flyers, you know, like greasing up a pole and having a Flyers fan jump at it. You know, it was pretty cool. So it was exciting to see. But, yeah, taking a look at the standings, that's the next thing we want to look at because the Flyers are shooting up. Pretty awesome to see. I don't know when this really... I guess it never really occurred to me. We watched a team flounder and lose 10 in a row, and now sitting pretty third place in the Metro. How are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling great about it. I'll tell you, they look like they're determined to get points out of every game. They're pushing hard, and I think it's really starting to show in the standings. And I don't think they're just trying to make the playoffs now. I think they have their sights set a little higher now. I think they're trying to get one of those, you know, top three seeds in the in the division.
They stole it from New Jersey. New Jersey's still right there. They're at 70 points. Flyers are at 72. But they're 7 points away from the second wild card spot now.
I mean, I never would have thought. I thought it was going to be pretty close to the end.
Yeah.
I really did.
And I mean, 7 points is a big margin.
So you're starting to see some of the teams, you know, some team like the Flyers trying to pull away, and some of the teams are starting to flounder, where the Flyers were kind of floundering in the beginning.
Right.
So that's how you finish.
Pittsburgh's been playing really well right now.
Yeah.
But they're just 2 points ahead of the Flyers.
Yeah.
Caps. I believe they just lost again to Tampa, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
They're okay. I mean, they're not doing awful, but you know, they're at 75 points. They're three. You had a 10 game stretch. I can't stress that enough. I know that it's, you know, everyone is well aware of it, but you had a team for 10 games couldn't win, and suddenly they're 3 points from the first, and not even 3 points like from the first Metro. I mean. If you look at the Atlantic as well, I mean, the Flyers are 7 points back now of the third spot in the Atlantic, which the Atlantic is somehow much stronger this season, which I think it was kind of reversed not very long ago. I think two seasons ago it was reversed. So they're not just doing well for the Metro. They're like I said, they're 7 points from the second wild card spot. So,
and the way I look at it now is the way that the Flyers are and the way they're set up for the rest of the season. You look at some of these other teams and like, how do the Flyers match up with them? And I'm not really scared of any of these teams. It feels like the Flyers can really beat any of them. Can they beat them in a 7-game series? I don't know. Like, you start to see the depth come in, but
I think Boston and Tampa are scary.
Yeah,
that's Boston only because they're very scrappy. They're basically the opposite of what Tampa is. Boston's just going to outwork you. You know, Tampa's flashy.
And Boston didn't think anybody, they were going to be that good this year. But, they pulled together as a team, just like the Flyers are right now.
That's what's scary about Boston, is that no one thought they were going to be good.
Yeah.
So you get that mentality, and you use it. You run with it. So.
Well, you have to think some of the teams are starting to say that about the Flyers.
Right, yeah. I mean, and I just said it 5 different times, and I keep saying it. It's a team that lost 10 games in a row.
Yeah.
Everyone counted them out. Yeah. So, and now they are one of the better teams in the Metro. So, and so they're at 72 points. The best team in the league has 83, which is Tampa. And then you have at 82 points, Vegas and Boston. So, I mean, they're 6 and 7 points away from, or I can't do math apparently. They're 10 and 11 points away from being one of the best teams in the league. That's really not crazy, you know. Like that's not a huge differential. It's a big differential that you're not going to catch up to it. They're not going to be one of the best teams in the league, but it's still like wow. That seems pretty good.
Well, that's why they're striving to be, and I think you're starting to see them believe in each other and pull for each other as a team where they think they're good enough.
Yeah,
and you know I think that goes a long way sometimes when you're winning some of these games.
So it's just going to get harder. As they go along here, and hopefully the hole was plugged here. Flyers lose a couple goaltenders. Injury's starting to plague the Flyers a little bit. Simmons goes down. Almost lost Konechny. Luckily, he sounds like he is doing okay.
Yeah.
came back that game, played some, was still limbering a little bit. But
he was fighting through it.
Yeah. Hextall said he's probable for the next game, so that's good. But Simmons goes down for, you know, about a month. So you have Lindblom come in. We'll talk about his game in a little bit. But the major thing is Elliott goes down. He's been playing awesome.
Yeah.
He goes down. That sucks. You know, now you have to rely on Neuwirth. And Neuwirth does what Neuwirth does. And he gets hurt instantly.
Maybe last seven periods?
something like that. Goes down for 6 weeks or something like that. Crazy. Feel bad for the guy. He's a good goaltender when he's playing well, but he just can't stay healthy. So you're looking at Lyon getting a game. He comes in, plays very well against the Rangers, wins against the Canadiens. Mm-hmm. But now the Flyers acquire Peter Mrazek from Detroit, which is old news by now. But how do you evaluate him? What do you feel about him?
Status quo. I mean, I think he's coming in. I mean, he's obviously played well in the league. He has a little bit of a track record.
Yeah.
He can get hot. I mean, just like almost any goalie, he can get hot. But I think he's just brought in because he has a lot of NHL experience. He's pretty much going to get the majority of the games. And you'll see Lyon pick up a game here and there because he deserves to play. And I just, you know, I kind of can't wait to see him play. To see how he adjusts to our team, our defense, our system.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried. I think the Flyers are just like I said, status quo. I think the Flyers are not going to miss too much of a beat going forward with the goaltending. And I do expect Elliott, if he comes back, when he comes back at the end of the year, I really think
he'll try
to get him to be the starter. I really think they'll go with the veteran in the playoffs.
Sure. I mean, Mrazek's never really he has two seasons that he played, full-time goaltender type games. 15-16 and 16-17 seasons. He played 54 and 50 games respectively. Ended up with a 9.21 save percentage the first round. Pretty awesome. Second time around, 9.01. Not so hot. So he's capable of playing at a pretty decent clip. Elliott has a very fluctuating track record of save percentages. And you know, he goes from 940, 907, 922, 917, 930, 910. So he's been back and forth a little bit. This year, he's actually only at a 908, but I feel like he's been playing a little better than what that number shows.
He's been steady. I think he's been very steady.
So that's what you're missing out on. I mean, really, this season so far, Mrazek's only played 22 games. Elliott's played 41. But Mrazek got a 910 save percentage, so it's technically 2/1000ths better than Elliott's been. So they're right on par. You're right. It's status quo for them. So hopefully he comes in and can win some hearts or something, because I don't know. I think he has the capability to come in and steal the show a little bit.
Yeah, and he's also, I don't think it shouldn't be left unsaid that he's playing for a job next year.
Yeah, and he's younger. He's 26.
Yeah.
So that's important as well, I think. I actually had, you know, I'm going to go to Facebook because we do this a lot where I did it again this show where I wrote down what I want to talk about, and then I go back to Facebook and here it is, several of our questions, because obviously it's the things that matter the most that we're interested in here. Here it is. Ty Wolf, great first name, Ty. If Mrazek proves himself, what does the future hold for Neuwirth and Elliott? Who goes and how?
Well, to me, I think Elliott's here next year. So if Mrazek proves that he can be a guy that would tandem with Elliott, because I really think that's the way Hextall thinks and the way the Flyers think about goaltending right now. They're looking for two goaltenders that can, you know, play maybe not half and half, but, you know, somewhere along 60-40, maybe something along those lines. But if Mrazek comes in, plays well, you might see them sign him, and I think that means they'll probably end up trading Neuwirth. I don't know. Goaltender market's usually not
I don't know who you're going to trade him to. That's the problem. Yeah. He's really bad with injuries.
The market for goaltenders is tough.
It's really bad right now.
I mean, you're really not going to get anything for him. You're going to trade him for maybe a late round pick or something like that.
Well, look, the Flyers just gave up a couple conditional picks to get Mrazek, so which will turn into something because he's obviously going to win some of these. He's going to hit some of these stipulations, but you're not going to get a ton for him. So I honestly can see a scenario where, and this is far-fetched, but a scenario where Mrazek comes in and plays exceptionally, plays very well, kind of steals the show a little bit, And we see that Lyon had a pretty solid game against the Rangers. He comes in and has another pretty solid game, maybe showing that he's backup material.
Yeah.
Somehow you're able to trade Elliott because he had a pretty good season. You get something for him, anything. Dump Neuwirth somehow because I don't think you're going to get anything for him, really. Let Mrazek sign him for a couple years. He's 26. Sign him for a couple years, and now you found your younger bridge goalie to Carter Hart.
Yeah, I mean, there's. I think they have some flexibility going forward with bringing Mrazek in, and they really just did it because of necessity.
Yeah,
they had to.
Right.
He could come in and play average, and then they could just let him walk, and you're still stuck with Elliott and Neuwirth next year, and you don't have to do anything.
Yeah. But
this is all basically predicated if Mrazek comes in and proves that he could be.
He has to be exceptional. Yeah. He can't just be.
That's right. I said. He's playing for a job.
He can't be just as good as Elliott. He's because Elliott signed already through next year for $275 million, I think.
Yeah.
So and really, so is Neuwirth. But yeah, he's got to be exceptional for the matter of the Flyers.
Now, personally, I really like Neuwirth. I always did as the backup. But he can't stay healthy.
He just brutal.
Can't stay healthy. Yeah. And when you have a veteran goalie like Elliott that's up there, it's good to have. And they want to go with a tandem. You should have. Two goalies that, you know, you can count on, especially, you know, a backup you can count on. So right. Mrazek comes in.
Especially if you're a playoff team.
Yes, Mrazek comes in and plays well. I personally would like to see them sign him, and, you know, maybe he could steal the show from Elliott next year. You never know.
Yeah.
It's good for players to push each other.
And keep an Elliott and Mrazek kind of duo going forward. That's not the worst. And Mrazek's that's been his career, so it's not like he's going to be against doing that still. He basically, he's getting a new lease on life right now because Detroit was pretty much done with him. He wasn't doing anything there. So that would be good for him. Chris Wino, he asks, what do all these injuries between the pipes mean for the timetables of Hart or maybe even Sandstrom now that he's back from his own injury?
Nothing. That's not going to affect it at all.
Take that, Chris.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. Stupid question. Move on.
It is not a stupid question, Chris. It's a good question. these goalies are on the minds of a lot of Flyers fans. I still think I think Hart could play in the AHL next year.
I believe so.
I think he's 20. I think he turned 20 recently.
Yeah, something like that.
Or he is turning
20. I'm bad at those kind of things.
Yeah.
That's usually where I rely on Mark for.
Well, I remember thinking it.
He's the numbers guy.
I think you see Hart. I don't know about. I think Sandstrom's older. I
believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so.
So you might see them both.
Yeah.
What's
his face is back now?
Stolarz.
But Stolarz is just, he's a Phantoms goalie. He's a decent goalie, but he's not, maybe a backup somewhere. I can't see him. I hope he proves me wrong. I hope he hears our show and comes and punches me in the face when he's an all-star, because then I'd say that I got punched in the face by an all-star.
And ultimately, I still believe that they're going to let Sandstrom and Hart push each other in the depth chart themselves.
Yeah.
To see who will end up being the starting goalie. You might eventually see them both here.
Yeah.
Pushing each other as a tandem. Cool. But obviously want to win out, I think, because they're both going to be talented. And they both should be starters eventually. But you never know with goalies. But I think their timeline is the same. I think you're still not going to see Hart for at least two more seasons. That's what I felt like it was. I think
about 2 years.
I think Hextall is so for having players play their way up the depth chart, play pro in the AHL, get some time in.
And two seasons is still scary. A 22-year-old goalie, that's still young. That's still really, really young. So, you know, yeah, he's got to get a start at some point in the NHL, so I agree with you, but that's still a young age. So even three seasons is nothing, that's not crazy either, you know? So I don't think that they're going to want to do that. I think them holding on to Giroux and Voracek is indicative of that because they're going to keep these guys, I think. I think they're here for the long haul. So they're going to have to bring in the goalie at some point. I think it is very ironic that Simmons is hurt right at the trade deadline. No, I'm just kidding. But it's kind of, you know, that was on a lot of people's thoughts was that maybe Simmons was on his way out because of his contract and what he's going to be getting in two seasons and his value.
It's funny that you say that because it's actually bad for him that he's out at the trade deadline because I certainly don't think they were going to trade him while they're trying to make the playoffs.
Right.
If they're going to make any noise in the playoffs, they might move him in the offseason, and if Lindblom comes in and plays extremely well, he's basically playing Simmons out of town.
Yeah. Might say, like, well, we actually don't need this guy.
So I think that would make him feel a little bit better about trading him in the offseason. Yeah.
Yeah, potentially. That's definitely true. I don't want to see Simmons. I say it every show because we talk about the Simmons every show now because it's a big, I think it's a very valid argument. So, and nobody wants to see him go, but when you look at values and you look at the cap, and it just makes too much sense to move him.
Yeah, I have a hard time looking at it thinking that he won't be moved at some point.
Yeah, but what are you gonna do? The Flyers. Oh, so we said about Konechny. I know that he's probable, which is great because the kid's been. I think he's got now like 7 goals in the last 9 games, something like that. I heard.
I think he's the engine right now.
Yeah,
driving the team, and you're starting to see it roll all 4 lines. I remember watching teams like Nashville earlier in the season. And I'm like, oh, the Flyers got a long way to go.
It really is true too.
And now I'm watching the Flyers now, and that a couple of the games that they've played recently, they're flying out there.
Yeah, they're, Flyers.
Yeah, well, wait, is that where it comes from?
Wait a minute. These guys are Flyers.
Now they're playing the system that I always wanted them to play, and the way you have to play in the NHL now is where you're attacking with all 5 guys on the ice. They're basically like hitting the line with speed, and they're starting to get their shots on. They're actually starting to crash the net to get rebounds.
Yeah.
They're causing all kinds of havoc for other teams right now.
But it's great when you have a couple threats like Provorov and Ghost at the point that are stepping up, and they're ready to actually. I was who was I talking to? Someone I was talking to recently, and they said how it's funny that Provorov doesn't take slap shots. That if you watch, he really doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He would rather take the step in and try to put a wrist shot where he needs it. It's funny to watch.
Yeah, he's trying to be a little more precise.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see. And he's got a cannon for a slap shot, you know?
Yeah, he does, which is kind of a good between Gostisbehere and him. They have a little bit of a different style coming from the point. So they're giving defenses fits. Right.
It's pretty cool to see. And Provorov, he has that patience like I haven't seen, honestly, since someone like Desjardins who would...
Yeah.
He's ready to just... hold it, and then wait till the guy makes a move, and then go around him and do something, as opposed to just blasting a slap shot in the shin pads. You know, that doesn't do you any good. Or shooting something super wide. You know, Timonen was famous for purposely shooting way wide, and it works sometimes, but a lot of times you end up just putting it where your players aren't, you know, so that's not going to help you either. If you're getting it towards the net, that's always preferable.
And I could say the biggest difference I could see in the Flyers recently is they're getting sustained pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, it was driving me crazy when they would just get in the zone. If they got their shot, they got their shot. But they'd be in the zone for like 10 seconds. They'll be out. But now they're actually like they're pinning the puck in and they're creating chances.
Because they're entering the zone. They're not always just dumping and chasing. Yeah. That's the
reason. Actually, now you're starting to see them dump appropriately.
Like, well,
nothing there. Yeah. Instead of trying to skate through 5 guys like, Voracek does a lot.
Yeah, Giroux is guilty of that a lot often as well. So speaking of Lindblom, like we did just a little earlier, though, exciting to see him. The kid was going right towards the net.
Yeah.
He looked pretty comfortable second shift in, I think.
He was strong. He's strong on the puck, strong on the board.
I thought he was going to score. He had that one chance he cut right in front of the net.
I mean, from a first game coming in, for his first NHL game officially, I was really impressed with him.
Pretty comfortable.
He seemed very confident to go to the net, go to those areas. And it won't take long for him to get his first goal.
But usually you need Simmons out there if you're going to feel confident as a rookie to put a little fear to people. But so it's good. It's really cool to see. And hopefully he continues on that pace. It's really, like I said, it's just very interesting. The whole situation with Simmons going out and him finally getting the chance. So hopefully he sticks around. I'd rather see him in the lineup over Laterra or Weiss any day.
Yeah.
So.
But even those players have contributed lately, maybe not necessarily points, but I think
Laterra got his first goal the other night.
Yeah,
give him some credit.
And I think Laterra's kind of been, he's been throwing his weight around a little bit.
Yeah,
and you're starting to see fourth line kind of guys do fourth line things. You know,
I'm not like a Laterra.
Well, out of here. I would obviously rather have a lot more.
Yeah, you know, they put when they had first started the game, and it looked like it had gotten switched up, and I could be mistaken, but they had Lawton, Lindblom, and Weiss was what they said before the game, and they had Raffel on the fourth line, and I thought, why not have Raffel on the line with those two guys? Like, Raffel can at least step up and contribute.
They've been moving Raffel around a lot. He played in place of Konechny in a few shifts last night.
And that's neat to have. He's a utility guy.
Yeah, he's a utility guy. They're using him in that kind of role.
And, he doesn't get enough credit right now.
He fits in a lot of different situations.
He's not doing a lot right now at all, but he's also not screwing up. He is what he is. Exactly that situation. Konecny gets a shot in the foot. He can jump up and keep up with the guys.
When he plays more like downhill. Like he just goes to the net. Yeah. Just crashes the net. I like simple game from him, and I think that's what you want from him. And,
for sure.
Sometimes he tries to get a little too cute out there.
So we have last comment on here. David Delp just puts a whole quote. I'm going to read the whole thing because why not? He says, per Bill Meltzer, on Tuesday night, the Flyers became just the second team in National Hockey League history to go three full games without taking a penalty that left the team shorthanded. That sort of disciplined play can usually be credited to disciplined coaching. Is Dave Haxtell maybe a better coach than we give him credit for?
That's a good question.
So that's an awesome question.
I've been a little critical of Haxtell on the show. And I'm going to say that I've been impressed with his coaching lately. I feel like he's been aggressive. He's been doing in-game adjustments. He's double-shifted the first line a few times. He's shortened his bench in certain situations in games.
You're starting to see him.
Maybe he's coming
into his own a little bit, too.
He had to grow with the NHL, and he had to grow with the team, just like the team had to grow into their identity. And I'm starting to think, now you're seeing the Flyers play the style and the way you expected them to play. It took them a while to get there, but I'm starting to think now that Haxtell is kind of probably more happy with the way the team's playing as a whole, where now he's more focused on winning the game and what's going to win the game. This line's playing well, we're going to get them more ice time. You know, this line's not playing well, he's going to get less ice time. You're starting to see it, and actively see it, where it doesn't even take a genius to see it, but you're starting to see his coaching tactics, and I've been impressed with them lately.
Yeah. They're, like you said, they're more cohesive. They're entering the zone with purpose.
Yes.
You know, so it's something that is, there's something to be said for it. I don't want to jump the gun yet because, you know, we were just saying not too long ago that this guy, you know, he's on the hot seat, that he needs to figure something out here. And maybe he did, you know, so it's pretty cool to see. He's made some questionable things happen in the past with sitting guys and stuff like that. But for right now, it seems pretty good. And you don't want to fix anything that's not broken. So got to give him credit where credit's due. Looks like he's doing a good job right now, and hopefully that continues on. I don't think that's solely responsible for the penalties. I think now that everyone's talking about the Flyers not having a penalty, that the next game they're going to get lots of penalties.
Now that they're pushing the pace of play, you know, as long as they're not getting pinned down in their defensive zone, which they've been so good at getting the breakouts now, that's going to contribute to them not taking bad penalties. And now they're just kind of, and they could skate with any team. You know, it used to be a little slower where they couldn't, and you see them do those hooking penalties where somebody's trying to get around them.
Right.
So you're starting to see their skill, and I think a lot of it is their skill that's contributed to them not taking penalties. And I mean, some of it's just luck. I don't know.
It definitely is, because you know what? There's times when you say, "Ooh, you know, what did you just do there? You know, could have taken a penalty, or a penalty could have been called." Really, was what I'm trying to say. And it's going to Flyers' way. So you get a little bit of luck. You know, something that Mark always says will keep his spirit alive here is that you create your own luck out there. So, you know, sometimes things just go your way, but they're usually not going to if you're not working hard. So, you know, it's pretty cool to see, and especially with some of the younger guys on the team, that it's not happening. Gudas is keeping his head on. And it's especially cool to see because the Flyers have been pinned in their zone the last couple games. They've gotten some moments where they're really contained, and they're coming out on top with the puck and
winning
cleanly.
Battles.
So it's indicative of their play as well. Someone that we had criticized recently actually had quite the large end to the game last night. Jacob Voracek.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He finally scores.
Yeah.
Hasn't scored in a while.
Finally shoot the puck.
Interesting.
If I have to criticize some of the stuff that the Flyers have been doing recently, is in it, and hey, this is a problem that the Flyers haven't had in years, is they're trying to be there's a little too much skill.
They're getting a little
cute.
They're
trying to, you know, do that everybody touches the puck, you know? No.
But the net's open.
Shoot.
No, pass it.
You didn't touch the puck
yet.
You
son of a... That doesn't count. Only three stick touches.
So I think they get a little bit too pass happy out there, and Voracek was playing with Drew a lot in the last game, and I think they're both kind of passers, and I think that's part of the reason why I think some of them will look successful now that they've been kind of apart a lot.
Yeah.
Because they're the playmakers and
you're trying to spark other people.
Yeah. So when you put them together, I think they're like, no, you take it. No, you take it.
Yeah, they get too excited because they're both so good at passing. Yeah, you know, yeah. Giroux is just unreal with it. Sometimes when he's making these passes, it's you think, how the hell did he see that? So
and Giroux with having Konechny on the line, you have somebody that can keep up.
Yeah. And then Voracek obviously is an amazing passer because he's one of the best in assists this season. Yeah. So. Pretty neat to see. I think Giroux, last time I looked, Giroux was third in the league for points, which is pretty awesome. He scores again two nights ago, two games ago, because Patrick scored and then Voracek scored to win the game against Canadians.
Yeah, I think I read today that he was on pace for 96 points, which would be his
fantastic,
which would be his best season ever.
Yeah, so it's pretty awesome. I'd like to see him hit 100. I really want to see it happen.
Yeah, I would like to see him hit 100.
He deserves it. The guy is an amazing player, and he doesn't get the respect he deserves. He's not the best player in the world, like Laviolette had said. I think he was at that. You know, he was playing like he was at that time. So.
He's up there this year, though.
Yeah, but this year, he's really he's taking that leap. So it's pretty cool. Taking that leap, he's always been this good. It's just that last couple seasons he's been decreasing his points a little bit here or there. And unfortunately, at the end of each season, we've heard about an injury,
It's not all just injury. I mean, now he has skilled players that he's playing with.
Surprise.
Like, I don't mean that just like one skilled player like Voracek, but he has multiple, you know, Gostisbehere and Provorov.
Well, it takes a full team.
Yeah. He has many options out there, and, defenses have to cover all five of them out there.
Not only when they're on the ice, but when Drew's sitting on the bench, you have other players that are taking up energy from the other team as well. That they're trying to get different matchups. So
that's what you're seeing the skill come in and create problems for other teams.
Yeah.
And the Flyers are not there completely yet, but they are.
We're talking them up a lot tonight because we're happy. They've been winning a lot. I'm not trying to say they're the greatest team in the world. They're just playing really good Flyers hockey right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is exciting to be about it is because you're starting to see the skill, the potential of the skill.
Yeah. And there's more skill to come. Yes. That's the exciting part, too.
From the minors and stuff like that. So I think this season, this team is trying to make a push. And I think good for someone like Drew and Voracek who have been here and through the hard times.
Yeah.
So I don't think they should stop, take their foot off the gas and just be happy with a playoff berth. I think they should get in and try to make some noise because there's teams that they can definitely beat.
Absolutely. And I think that's the important thing for them right now is if they can stay in the top three, they're going to be playing their way out of the Metro, which they can do.
Yes.
They absolutely can beat the teams in their own division. Between the Penguins and Capitals and Columbus and New Jersey, they can beat these teams. Now, historically, they've had issues at times with Pittsburgh, and at times they beat them all the time. And then Capitals, same way. Sometimes they go in and spank the Capitals for no reason, and sometimes they get spanked.
Yeah.
Columbus gives them trouble sometimes. Jersey gives them trouble my whole life. so it's can be scary, but when you look at the skill sets of the team, you're like, wow, this team can do this. You can get your way to the Eastern Conference Finals if you stay in that top three spot. I really think they can.
Yeah.
At that point,
I think it'll be easier for them if they stay in the top three.
I mean,
you get the wild card, it'll be tough. If they get a home series, it'd be nice in the first round. It'd be nice to see.
Yeah. Well, they would have to get to the one spot because the two top teams are going to get the wild card spots. That's who they're going to play.
Yes.
So, they would have to get one of the two top overall spots. They'd have to get the top overall spot in the Metro. I was trying to say they'd have to get one of the two tops between the Metro and the Atlantic, obviously, but they can't get the top in the Atlantic, so it's a stupid sentence. But, they would have to be number one in the Metro to get one of these wild card teams, which would be awesome. And then take on the winner of the second and third seed in the Metro, which would be cool. Because then at that point, you're probably looking at Washington and Pittsburgh, and they're going to beat each other up. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good scenario. Washington's going to get thrown out again first round. then Pittsburgh will be beat up from that, and hopefully you can take down the reigning double Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, this is just all like. This is the best case scenario for the Flyers.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is the type of
season. This is what they should be playing for. This is what they should be shooting for.
And this is the type of season where the Flyers and Pittsburgh rivalry gets really insane because Pittsburgh is ready to try to win the third cup in a row.
Yeah.
The Flyers just decided to make an appearance in the playoffs. They're going to beat Pittsburgh, ruin their chances, and then get crushed by Tampa. That's what's going that's what's going to happen, I think.
I think that's happened before.
I'm going to say that that's the series of events that's about to happen this offseason. So it's going to be exciting for sure. But
yeah.
To look a little bit around the league, just slightly. I don't want to get too crazy here. Looking at the trade deadline coming up, one of the names that I've seen, and I just wanted to mention, I don't want to go through all the trades, all you know, because I haven't done enough research to see who I think might be going where or whatever. Nothing big's really happened so far. But the one thing that I'm very interested in that Mark and I have mentioned before is Tavares. Where is he? Is he going to go? Is he going to go somewhere? Why isn't he signed if he's not?
I don't know. I mean, we've seen this before kind of with someone like Stamkos, where you weren't sure if he was going to end up back in Tampa. But, I mean, Tavares is, I mean, this situation can be different because the Islanders just seem to be in limbo. Like, you know, they're going to go play at their old stadium for a little while while they're waiting for a new stadium. You know, it's just...
It's so confusing what's going on.
It's so confusing that, you know, they're just trying to get a place to play, and let alone put a roster together.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, it would be really stupid for them to let their face of their franchise just go. But if he's not happy, you know...
That's my issue is I think... And that's what I would be concerned about as an Islanders
fan. I mean, he's saying all the right things.
Yeah, but he's got to. I mean, he's the captain, and he's, you know, he's a stand-up guy. But that would be my concern as an Islanders fan is just that... you're not doing anything to make him happy. You're not putting pieces around him. You keep taking pieces away.
Yeah. Then you got...
You don't have a home for him.
You got these teams that are about to do fire sales that are probably going to be trying to get in on that Tavares chase, which is the Rangers and Detroit.
Yeah.
Two big profile organizations.
Don't forget about a little team that has a ton of spending space, the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
What would that do for that franchise? I mean, the franchise comes in and can kick in some butt. You know, they go in the offseason, suddenly they're looking pretty nice in the offseason because it's a team that's respectable and they need a star player still.
And who wouldn't want to play in Vegas?
They can pay him a lot of money to come be the star player for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm talking not just $10 or $11 million, which is what he'll probably get somewhere. I'm talking like $13.
Yeah, you know, and like actually... It probably would be a good fit.
I can see it. It's easy. Yeah. They got a solid team there that's playing right now, and you come in with a captain who is that talented. I mean, geez, it would take that team into the stratosphere and not just the casino. I had to get one in. But yeah, they. I just think that'd be kind of cool. I don't know. It was something that I just popped into my mind earlier, and it's. I'm sure it's a fairy tale, but just you know, that would involve him just walking and. I don't know that he would do that to the team. I think he likes the organization, so he would probably help them out and be like, "Yeah, I'll go somewhere to get give you something." But in return, but I don't know.
I'm sure there's being a lot said behind the scenes, so you never know.
The only other thing that I have on my list here is something I want to find out if you're interested in. I've been taking a poll lately. Just every time I talk to people, the stadium series. Who do you care? Do you care what's going on with the stadium series?
At this point, no.
How about, let me ask you this, why don't you care? Do you know? I'm putting you on a spot here, I know.
Why don't I care? I've seen enough outdoor games where the novelty is worn off.
Yeah,
like,
right?
It's just like, wow, they're outdoors.
Neat.
It's more exciting now if there's like, you know, if it's like, oh, maybe it's like 85 degrees. Let's see if the ice holds up.
Yeah, yeah. See if there's a crack.
I saw that AHL game where they played like in the pouring rain. Like, how did they allow that?
Right?
Like,
yeah, because it's the AHL. They're like, well, we can't afford another night, so just it's now or never.
I mean, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Goalies?
I know, right? Drenched, too. Can you imagine drenched in goalie pads? I can barely stand up in my regular equipment, let alone
I think now it's more along the lines if there's going to be something interesting enough, like weather or something along those lines. As far as an outdoor game, I mean, it's just another outdoor game.
I don't think I think the NHL really isn't so much pursuing the viewership aspect anymore. I think that they are, because they don't advertise it a ton. You know, they advertise some. They want to sell the seats. They want to sell the jerseys. They want the local area to be excited about it.
Yeah, because on TV, it looks the same.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, actually, sometimes a little bit worse because they have the camera angles.
That they use.
The glare on the ice, yeah. You know, stuff like that. In the stadium, it's certainly worse.
It's difficult to see.
It's very bad. You know, I went to the Winter Classic when it was in Philly, and it was
like, oh, I'm this far away.
Yeah, it sucked. I was like, man, these are great Phillies tickets, but happen to be also awful Flyers tickets.
Yeah,
but
it's more about the atmosphere, which was cool.
Yeah, it was
a lot of fun.
And of course, the stadium series is going to be at the Link next year. And I'm already like, well, maybe I get tickets.
Yeah, so it's the atmosphere. It's exciting when it is your city.
It's different in a football stadium. I think I can see it being a little bit more viewership friendly in the stadium, in a football stadium as opposed to a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Just because of how the seating is laid out. But
well, the seating there is definitely worse for a football stadium because it holds way more people.
Oh, yeah.
In the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get that high up seat.
Exactly, right. Well, that was the thing is that we had pretty good. When I went, we sat in left field. First of all, actually, for the alumni game, I sat in the Diamond Club.
Okay.
I don't know why that's where my tickets were, but we were just dead center behind home plate, 15 rows up. I'm like, this is amazing. And we got there and it was awful.
Yeah.
The boards covered up like 2/3 of the ice. You couldn't see because of just the angle you were on. So you just were watching torsos skate back and forth. I was like, this sucks. We end up leaving halfway through the game. But then the actual Winter Classic, we sat in left field. And it was a little bit better, but I ended up turning around and watching the big screen half the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely just a, I don't want to say it's a money grab because I think it's exciting for the local area. Look how excited Flyers fans are because they're going to be playing at the Link, you know? So it's an area thing now. I think the NHL is starting to realize that a little bit more, that it's more of just a local regional thing and not so much a viewership. You're going to amp everybody up. If they would have kept it to just the Winter Classic itself, then maybe they could have made it into that.
Yeah.
And Mark had a few ideas of like making it always like it's a Stanley Cup match, rematch, whoever the Stanley Cup teams were, making it the rematch the next year.
That's
was always
a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, he used to do that with the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But have a trophy of some sort too. Like make it an actual, it's just a regular, it counts as 2 points still, but also have like some kind of little Winter Classic trophy that you win or something like bragging rights.
Instead of 3 stars, they actually give out an MVP award.
Yeah, you know, something cool like that, you know. Just to make it a little bit something over the top to say more bragging rights. Did the Stanley Cup team win again or did the other team kind of rebound a little bit? You didn't win the Stanley Cup, but hey, at least we took it back to them in the Winter Classic game, you know. So things like that.
Adds a little bit of a different element to it.
Yeah. And I don't want to rehash everything we've talked about before, but I just wanted to get your opinion, because I know we hadn't asked you before about the whole stadium series, outdoor games. I get more excited for the jerseys than anything else.
Yeah, some of them are cool.
This game, it's the Caps and the Leafs. That's the thing, is I usually ask people, like, okay, are you excited for the stadium series game? Like, you know, I don't care. All right, who's playing?
And the sad part was I saw a commercial for it the other day, and I still didn't remember who was playing.
When is it? March? So
this season,
yeah, there's going to be lots of them. Don't worry, there's going to be every season because they're making money off of them, so they're going to keep doing them. But I think that's all I got. I don't know if you had anything else you want to contribute.
No,
good. I didn't want to hear it anyway. So, but yeah, that's all we got for our midweek show here. I know we keep saying we're trying to get back into our rhythm of doing weekends and everything, but schedules, man, schedules tough. Putting Vegas in between Super Bowls, everything's messing us up right now. So. I think everything's going to quiet down, so we're getting back into, want to make sure we got something done midweek here and then get back on track now that I'm stuck at home in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So, city of not Vegas. So that's the slogan. I miss the desert, but anyway, thank you everybody for listening. You can find us as always on BroadcastBullies.com, on Facebook at Facebook.com/BroadcastBullies. Find us on Twitter at Bullies Podcast. Tweet at us, like us, friend us, whatever you got to do. You can also find us on any kind of podcast catcher or anything like that, iTunes, Stitcher, all that good stuff. You can even tell your brand new Apple HomePod to play our podcast, so it's pretty cool. Apple plug, shameless. They'll start paying me one day. So, but as always, let's go Flyers. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.